Have you been wanting to lose weight and get healthy? Now's the perfect time to start Nutrisystem. Enjoy your favorite foods made healthier, delivered free to your door. Right now, you can get Uniquely Yours Ultimate, our most complete foolproof plan at an amazing price. Order today and save 50%, plus get an extra $40 off. Go to Nutrisystem.com/save and discover what millions of people already know. Nutrisystem works. Limitations apply. See website for full offer details.
And welcome to the Resilient Pathway to Happy Work and Life. My name is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach and organizational management consultant on culture. You can learn more about our services at theresilientpathway.com. You can reach me at alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's Alexia, A-L-E-X-I-A, at theresilientpathway.com. This is episode 22, Love at Work. In episode 20, I had referred to an article and research on love at work and the benefits. And so this is a follow-up so you can learn more. The Resilient Pathway podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, and welcome to our presentation on Love at Work. My name is Alexia Georgiou. I am a life coach and management consultant, with culture being at the forefront. In 2019, I was afforded an opportunity to attend the Unstoppable Cultures Fellowship. This was designed by Ginger Hartage. She is the former VP of Communication and Culture at Southwest Airlines. And when she retired, leaders of organizations across industries were asking her, how do we create the culture that Southwest Airlines has in our organization? So she created this fellowship, and I was coached by leaders in culture across industries on how to develop organizational culture. I also completed the leadership and management certification from Wharton School of Business. This was an online program. I was amazed to see how the concepts on leadership and management intermingled with culture. Love at work. We are not talking about that kind of love. We're talking about companionate love. How do we define companionate love? There are four factors: affection, caring, compassion, and tenderness. Let's ask ourselves an honest question. When we drive up to work every day, what do we think and how do we feel? Are we excited most of the time to be there? Are we challenged? Do we feel like we belong? Now, we can all work on this, and we're all responsible for fostering companionate love. Everybody that I've studied from that talks about culture identifies that the team follows the leader. And so it's the leader's responsibility to emulate the behavior that they want on the team. What are the benefits of companionate love? We're going to be talking about specific examples. Companionate love increases employee engagement, productivity, decreases absenteeism, with happy employees who treat customers well, creating happy investors. Now, when we're talking about culture, there are two components to culture that we need to pay attention to. There's the cognition, the ways we think, and this is seen and expressed verbally. So when we're talking about this part of culture, it's important to identify how to shift the mindset on the team. And a lot of times it begins with our own mindset being shifted, just how we think about situations and how we approach them. And we're going to give creative ideas today on how to shift culture more towards a culture of companionate love. The second important component of culture is emotion. We normally won't talk about this. It's how we feel at work. So when we're talking about these norms, is it safe to express emotion or do we repress it? And a lot of times this is the unspoken rule. Whether it's a family system, a community gathering, a place of worship, or an organization, there are unspoken norms. And the best way to affect change is through social norms. So we definitely have a culture, whether we have been intentional about it or whether it created itself. Most of us do not think in terms of culture when we're going in our place of work as much as we need to. And so being intentional about it and communicating those intentions to our team is where we need to start. There are gender differences when we're identifying how we communicate our emotions at work. Men and women have different emotional triggers. According to a study of 2,000 workers in the United Kingdom and 250 line managers, the UK job board Total Jobs conducted the study. They found men are twice as likely to get emotional because their ideas were not heard or because they were criticized. They were almost three times more likely to experience an emotional event because a project went over budget, missed a deadline, or got canceled. So it's very performance oriented, and the reaction was emotional. The research also shows a clear divide in the ways men and women express their emotions in the workplace. While men are twice as likely to shout or even quit their jobs because of their emotions, women are more than twice as likely to cry at work, with 41% of women saying they've cried in the workplace compared to 20% of men. So I was reading Sheryl Sandberg. She shared that she has cried at work and felt safe to do so. So yay Facebook for fostering a healthy and safe culture for the team to express emotions. Men and women are socialized to display emotions differently, especially at work. Men are more likely to report experiencing emotions associated with power, such as anger or pride. In fact, emotions and power are linked. Not being heard is congruent with lacking in status. Sadness is associated with a lack of power in social settings, such as the workplace. Many employees feel that they can't express their emotions at work at all. With 59% of workers saying they have felt emotions at work that they didn't feel they could freely express. A third, 33%, said they conceal their real emotions with a positive face at work. Now, all of us in society put on that positive professional persona when we are in public, when we're at work, and we're a little different. We let our guard down in that positive face when we're at home with our family. It's important to note that those in the service industry have been studied where they have to put on that positive face the whole length of their work. It does have detrimental effects on them emotionally. So even when they're not feeling like smiling and saying hello, have a wonderful day, even, you know, when people aren't being so nice, that they need to be able to take a break and to vent and to talk about their frustrations and how they feel, and then go back to that service industry positive face. So give that increased space to happen, because we definitely want to acknowledge the frustrations and the feelings. And any job in customer service, it really pulls on emotions of employees, and studies have shown that self-care for them is very indicated. So the next concept that we're going to talk about is how our emotions are contagious. So think about a virus that is going around and we can get it through human contact. That's exactly what we're talking about when we use the term emotional contagion. A 2018 study from Tilburg University in the Netherlands found that viewers readily catch the emotions of popular YouTube vloggers. When viewers see a positive post, they react with heightened positive emotions. And the same pattern holds true for negative posts. Though they were later criticized for their invasive methods, a team led by Adam Kramer, a Facebook data scientist, tested emotional contagion by manipulating the news feeds of more than 680,000 users on the platform. Some were given more positive posts and fewer negative ones, and others were given the opposite social media diet. After analyzing more than 3 million posts, the team found that people exposed to fewer positive words made fewer positive posts, whereas those exposed to fewer negative words made fewer negative posts. You feel your feed. Social psychologist Ron Friedman at the University of Rochester has found that just putting people in the same room as a highly motivated individual improves their motivation and performance. So if you're a leader in an organization and you want to motivate your team, put a highly motivated individual with those who are struggling with their productivity and engagement. Now, sometimes there are life happenings with employees, because we're people. Life happens to all of us. And not everyone can separate what's happening from their work. And so that's the importance of creating a love at work environment. Because when people feel cared for, they will engage and be more productive. And that's according to these studies. We feed off of each other. The emotions of one person has an effect on the emotions of another person. When the participants were paired with a less motivated person, they experienced a drop in their own motivation and performance. Participants performed worse when they were seated next to an unmotivated office mate, even when they avoided verbal communication and worked on totally different tasks. The effect was detected after just 5 minutes of exposure. So just sitting next to an employee that has a negative attitude, that isn't motivated, will have an effect, even on a motivated individual. And so it's really important to manage the emotions at work. And how do we begin? It's by role modeling, containing our emotion ourselves, having a safe place, having a person we trust that we can express our emotions to and vent our frustrations, and then regulate those emotions and role model that to the team. Now, if we haven't done so well, it's okay. The first step is own it. As human beings, we're not perfect, and we're all learning, and we're on the journey together. And you're a leader and you have a team. You're the leader of this team. And so owning it in front of the team and showing humility will foster a level of trust. So the team can also be vulnerable and admit their mistakes and learn and go along the journey with you. They are going to follow the example that's given. So we want to look at some examples of what do you mean companionate love? What does this look like and what have companies implemented? There are a lot of examples and we're going to focus on three. So as you hear this, just think, how can I implement an idea that's consistent and it's for everyone? Definitely your team wants to be treated equally. This is very important for the team members psychologically. The experts in management, they teach the management theory. I also heard them teaching psychology theory as well as human behavior. So think about the strategy of your organization and think about the term culture, eat strategy for breakfast. Just think about that for a little bit. When we manage people with companionate love, that will feed our strategy. Cisco Systems. There was a policy that required the CEO to be informed within 48 hours of any employee who became seriously ill or died, and this included immediate family members. To make this policy work, the company created the Serious Health Notification System that helped the information reach the CEO quickly. So if you've ever had a death in your family or a sick family member that you all of a sudden have to care for, that's life-altering. And so offering that support from the leader is meaningful. I was with a small business owner today, and we were in a business meeting, and he told me one of his employees had a death in her family, and it was out of town. I believe it was her mom, and she was given 2 weeks by this small business owner. However, it was a real struggle. There were a lot of things that she had to deal with, and her boss said, take as long as you want, we will cover things. He told me that she is singing the praises of her employer for this kind act, and she's so grateful. Now, is she ever going to leave this employer willfully? Probably not, because she knows that she's that cared for. The global equipment firm, Barry Wechmiller, gave news to every worker that they would have to take unpaid 4-week furlough so that no layoffs would be necessary. Now, you may think, wow, everybody is in it and nobody's going to get paid for 4 weeks. What happened? The CEO reported, I quote, the reaction was extraordinary. Some of the team members offered to take a double furlough to fill in for coworkers they knew could not afford to lose their pay. So within that structure that was given by the CEO, there was some flexibility of how the furlough would be managed, and the employees were able to self-manage it and gift their time to other employees so they could continue working and being paid. That fostered a sense of community and belonging. There was equity in that. So definitely the employees were bought in that, okay, all of us are going to participate in this together so one person won't be targeted or a group of people and be laid off. There's a study, and it is called What's Love Got to Do with It? A longitudinal study of the culture of companionate love and employee and client outcomes in the long-term care setting. This focused on a long-term care facility for elderly patients, most of whom had Alzheimer's, dementia, or other severe impairments. If you have ever had a loved one go in a long-term care facility, then you know what you have observed and experienced. My father had Lewy body's dementia, and he passed away 4 years ago, and my mom was the caretaker. And so we did have to put him in a long-term care facility. He only lasted 5 weeks and then passed away. So this study really hit home with me because it's something that I've experienced. So the study focused on a long-term care facility for elderly patients involving 185 employees of this facility, 108 patients, and 42 patient family members in the different units. They discovered that the units with a stronger culture of companionate love had significantly higher levels of employee satisfaction and teamwork, and lower levels of absenteeism and emotional burnout. Burnout is huge. It's an issue, and it's especially a factor with the medical field and caretakers. Moreover, the positive effect rippled out to the facility's residents. There was better mood, more satisfaction, improved quality of life. The effect went beyond the psychological. Patients in units with a higher level of companionate love had fewer unnecessary trips to the emergency room. Even patients' families were more satisfied. So I just find that to be remarkable. If you've ever had a loved one and it was a mental health issue, so something that wasn't operating in their brain, like dementia or Alzheimer's, so they're not thinking very clearly, and it's not a physical problem. However, they're saying, I want to go to the emergency room, and it's because of their thought process. That's very stressful. That happened one time with my dad, and I was so grateful that did not become a pattern, because physically he was in good health. And so when I hear that there were less trips to the ER because of companionate love on the unit, with the focus being on the employees, that speaks to me. And I just think that is so powerful to reduce the ER visits. So what are the benefits to your team to begin fostering love at work? More companionate love reported in the culture was associated with more employee satisfaction, commitment, and personal accountability. Isn't that wonderful to have a culture where the employees are taking accountability for their actions? So how they behave and how they are fostering love at work, there was that increase in accountability. All of this is good news for managers, because a culture of companionate love, like other cultures, doesn't usually arise spontaneously. Managers, as lots of other research has shown, has an outside influence on the culture of an organization, since employees look to them to set the tone. Every expert that I've studied that's talking about culture, they say that the leader sets the tone and the team follows the leader. So leaders have great vision and great intentions and actions. The question is, how are you connecting with your team and communicating that? The higher up a leader is in the organization, the more separated they are from the front line and what's really happening. So we hear employees saying, you know, the upper management does not know and does not understand. Now, usually they're not using those words with one another. Sometimes they're saying they just don't care. And that may not be the case. That may just be their experience and perception, because the leadership has not communicated their actions and their vision. something that's important to remember, and all of us know it, but it's just to be intentional about it, is that organizations are made of people and people matter. Just having your team communicating that is very effective because that's a great way to communicate intentions. The primary determinant of how much companionate love will exist in a manager's group is the companionate love expressed by the manager, him or herself. Are you affectionate and compassionate with your people? Or do you give off an impression that you just don't care? This means managers can promote a culture of companionate love just as they can, intentionally or not, promote a competitive culture, a customer-oriented culture, or a results-oriented culture. So we're used to hearing those other terms: competitive, strategy, customer-focused, customer service, results-oriented, because we're looking at productivity. And what about a culture of companionate love? Let's add that, and it's going to just drive everything else. Managers can do this by modeling the behavior themselves, the companionate love, creating structures that enable expressions of companionate love, and giving those behaviors formal recognition. So when the team begins practicing the companionate love, recognize it and tell them how wonderful that is, because they're following what you are emulating for them. Culture needs to be aligned with the values of your organization. Now, you may say, we have a mission and a purpose. We haven't defined the values. So begin with that. Define the values of your organization. You may need to look at the values and redefine them. This is a great time to engage people from your organization in different levels, in different positions, and get their input. Then you will have more buy-in. It's really important that the employees are aligned with the values. It's a different culture when the team feels passionate about the values of why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? And what drives this? I'm going to give an example of Zappos. They hire for culture and they fire for culture. They give their team members a choice during change. Not only that, during the onboarding process, every employee is in a training that lasts for weeks. It does not matter what position that they're in. At the end of that training, every employee is offered a generous severance package to leave if the job is not what they expected, if the culture is not what they expected, if they don't feel like they can align with what the expectations are. No hard feelings. Zappa says, we support you. Here's the severance package. We'll even help you in your journey to find a better culture fit. There was a huge organizational change that the CEO was making in Zappos. And what he decided to do is, while he rolled out this change, he offered every single employee a severance package if they could not align with this change. What he did is he decided to implement holacracy. This does away with traditional managers and strips employees of their internal title. So imagine you're an employee and you don't have a title, and you're a traditional manager, and now you're being taught to be in a different role where you're not a manager. Some people may have a problem with that, and that's okay. It doesn't mean anything bad. It just means that they're just not used to thinking that way, and having that mindset shift is too much of a challenge, that they're just not bought into it and they don't want to stay. And so offering them an exit in a way that's caring with companionate love will go a long way. There are organizations that have alumni networks. And who are the alumni? The former employees. And those who are invited in these alumni networks are the employees who left in good standing. And it's a way to foster community and to say, you continue to be important to us even though you left as an employee. Think about it. They are a consumer. They are affecting others' people's perceptions of your organization. So fostering a sense of love and community with the alumni is effective. And LinkedIn is a company that has developed this, and they're seeing some positive results. So do some research on LinkedIn. I was very impressed when I was looking at the alumni network, as well as other culture strategies that they have in their organization. So I hope today you've been challenged to think about what change you could begin in your organization, make it equitable to everyone and consistent. We cannot start small, too small. So any change in the right direction, it just has to be something that we can implement that's doable. And it doesn't have to cost a lot. And any time that it does take is an investment.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. I'm a life coach and organizational management consultant for culture. Please visit us at theresilientpathway.com. Email me at alexia@theresilientpathway.com. That's alexia@theresilientpathway.com. I am available for Zoom appointments for life coaching, and I can also provide trainings for you and your team on Zoom. Contact me today.
Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Come stay and play at Live Casino and Hotel. Welcome to one of the biggest casinos in the country with luxurious clean rooms, upscale dining, and the grandest payouts. Now offering stay and play and all-in packages, including $50 free slot play, VIP parking, VIP casino access, and more. Book now at livecasino.com or call 443-445-2929. At Arundel Mills, must be 21, please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgambling.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER.